Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios Fundraiser. Go to www.indiegogo.com/castwavestudios and contribute today. We are the podcast refugee nation. Be a part of it.
Boldly Going Nowhere is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, my harrowing adventure into the world of used car shopping. Also, the home improvement video?
Yeah.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Hackavis.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 69 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakinis.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And this is the show that is far too mature to make jokes about the number of this episode.
Bow chick, bow wow!
69 dudes!
Oh my!
Tee-hee.
Oh my!
Yeah, tee-hee.
Why do I bother?
That's an excellent question. Why do you bother?
You're not going to bother because, we're immature nerds that we like the number.
I'm younger than all of you guys.
Yeah, we appeal to the lowest common
denominator. I mean, if you flip this episode number upside down, it's still the same.
Yeah,
if you flip us upside down, we're still the same.
It's kind of like the whole race car effect, but not.
There aren't that many numbers you can do that. Like, 11.
Yeah, this is true. 22 turned into 55, so...
I sure wish I was here for episode 11. That must have been a blast.
Or 111.
Ooh.
Okay.
Looking forward to the future today.
Alright, so if you're wondering why I was not present for last week's recording session, well, I'm about to explain that. So, hold up.
Don't get
ahead of yourself.
Dun, dun, dun. 69.
I'm here with stories... Stories to share, and they're not all pretty ones. So, this is a week later, and I've basically been going nonstop since last Friday. So let me set the scene for you.
Please do.
It's about 10:30 at night. I'm driving with four other people in my car. We are going downtown to Baltimore to go to Fells Point to go to my favorite bar, Max's Tap House. This is totally not a paid advertisement for them, but they're an awesome bar. They have over 100 beers on tap. Ooh. Great atmosphere, good food, and surprisingly few annoying patrons.
Oh. But we won't tell you where it is. So that's why it's not an advertisement.
Right. Well, actually, he just did. He
said it's in Fells Point.
So technically...
He didn't give an exact address.
Right on South Broadway Street.
Oh, you shill.
You slug!
Come to Max's Tap House, the finest beer selection in all of Baltimore. All
right, continue.
Splunge.
Sadly, I never made it there.
No.
I... was going about 60 miles an hour, so not that fast.
Oh, right. You speed deep.
When suddenly the RPMs shoot up to like 7,000 RPM, and the engine starts revving. And I'm not even accelerating, but that sound effect gives you a good idea of what was happening.
You were trying to get into Speed Racer.
Sounds like a weed trimmer.
If it was a weed trimmer.
Well, not far off from my car, I guess. Actually, the Mazda 626, pretty decent engine.
Was.
was a decent engine. Now
it never stayed in place.
Well, yeah, there have been a lot of problems with that car since I bought it. But hey, I paid $2,600 cash for that car.
And it shows.
And I got all of 30,000 miles out of it.
That's not bad. I mean, That's bad.
It's pretty bad.
Okay, yeah. Who am I kidding?
That's
let me put this way.
Not great.
I got my car at, what, 73,000, and now it's clocking in at about 200,000 now.
Oh, jeez.
My dad's car, 99 Chevy Cavalier, has 250,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
He's still driving, I think.
Quarter million.
I had a 98 Oldsmobile Cutlass, and it clocked it out at when it died, 332,000 miles.
Damn, son!
How many 98 Oldsmobile Cutlass, which is the sister car to the Chevy Malibu. Oh,
that shatters my old record of 195,000.
It was a decent car. It was a decent car. You didn't really have to replace that much, just because of the occasional alternator.
Yeah. All right. So if you didn't get the idea already, this episode we're pretty much talking about cars. So
what?
Yes, if you're not a gearhead out there, like I clearly am.
Yeah.
Perhaps if I had been more of one, maybe my car would still be alive.
You should have watched more Tool Time. You were learning all your car facts.
No,
you should have watched Top Gear. Give it the time, Sean.
Tool Time.
Like with Tim Taylor?
Yes, Home Improvement.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Da, da, da.
But what home improvements could you possibly put in with?
We're like 2 minutes into the show and you're busting out a home improvement.
Well, you said car.
They didn't even work on cars.
I know.
Yeah, you did.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they sawed pieces of lumber.
No,
you didn't watch Home Improvement the way I watched.
I remember some...
Which is to say, not at all.
There were some episodes in which they worked on cars.
Are you sure it was cars and not riding mowers?
No, they worked on cars. I mean, the equivalent of what you learned about cars watching that show, you learn that a car, it can go forward and backwards, and it has four wheels.
Also, it can crash comedically.
I actually used to be a pretty big fan of the show, although a couple years ago I finally got around to playing the Super NES ROM of Home Improvement, in which...
Wait, there was a Home Improvement?
Yes, there was.
Yeah, and,
there
was a... and Tim Taylor basically just ran around and fought dinosaurs.
Yes.
So... that's about all I can remember about the show.
I remember.
Why am I not playing this game right now?
I remember there being terrible. Because
we're talking about your problems, Justin.
I had all these great stories. I had this whole thing to share. And then in one moment, Jordan tells me that the Home Improvement video game exists. All of this goes out the window. Because now I feel like I want to spend the next hour talking about that.
The copy burns. It burns.
Please, get me a copy of this game or direct me to where I can find an emulator of it or something.
I'll do my best.
Dude, I can...
I'm sure I'll get bored with it within 5 minutes.
But you'll eventually find it on StumbleUpon.
No, what you need to do, basically, is when you play the game and you're fighting the dinosaurs, all you have to do is you just have to make the Tim Allen sound effects every now and again.
Okay. No, seriously, though, back to my story.
Sorry. Feel free to punctuate Tim Allen sound
this
effects.
This has been a Tim Taylor tangent.
Whenever appropriate, which is to say never.
Tim Taylor tangent.
Although if we had the laptop and the mixer set up, we could bring up the Tim Allen soundboard that I'm sure exists somewhere.
Somewhere.
TTs.
And it's just 30 different versions.
TTs.
Okay, that's enough Tim Allen sound effects.
TTs.
Shut up.
That's not even a Tim Allen sound effect.
No.
We're explaining. Justin's trying to explain something here.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so
it's been a long day.
The engine is the. Transmission's going crazy, and it's trying to shift gears, and it can't, and I come off the exit. I'm coming down Conway Street, which is a pretty busy street leading into the Inner Harbor. So there's a ton of cars around me, because it's 10:30 on a Friday night. A lot of people are going downtown. And so the transmission pretty much stalls out completely. And I'm moving at, like, a snail's pace. I'm like, shit, I better get off this road, because there's way too many cars in there. Let me take this right. You know, I take the first right turn I see because the street looks much... it's a smaller street and less busy.
Where were you when this happened?
I was on Conway Street, in the Inner Harbor, Baltimore.
Oh, God. Mm.
So luckily I was already in the rightmost lane. So I managed to just like barely make this turn into this road, and it was a one-way street, and I was going the wrong way. So now I'm stalled out on the going the wrong way on Charles Street, and I have four other people in my car, and I have a bunch of old ladies on a bus stop who are screaming, "You're going the wrong way!" I said, "Yes, I know that. Thank you. Thank you for pointing out that situation.
Can I borrow some ointment?
You're wrong way! Wrong way!
You're
yes.
going the wrong way!
I know.
You're going to kill somebody!
How would you know you're walking?
Where's my neighbor?"
Plane, Trains, and Automobile reference. Alright, go ahead.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah.
I need to press the button.
Alright, that's...
So, we managed to get the car in neutral and push it over to the side of the road. So, get AAA on the phone. Get the car towed to a mechanic in a not particularly nice part of Baltimore, but it was the closest one they had.
Blue light special section? Or?
It was
just
off Wilkins Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yep.
On the fringe of West Baltimore. It's called Three Brothers, although the guys who were in the shop did not appear to be related. I guess they could be adopted brothers, because only were they...
Did you ever see that movie, Four Brothers, with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, I was going to say, they were three brothers, each of a different race. It's possible.
Maybe they're taking out their vengeance on the man who killed their mother.
Right. Well, where's the fourth,
though? I will take vengeance on Mark Wahlberg's nostrils.
He's my brother. He's killed millions of people. He's adopted.
Oh, God, that's another story for another day, okay. But yes.
Okay, so, I get the car towed back all the way to Mount Airy, and completely ruins my plans for the weekend because I was going to go to, like, a formal thing, and that did not happen. And then Sunday, so I had to get the car towed back, and then Sunday had to take my mom's Saturn to drive back to Pikesville to work on a Sunday for, like, 10 hours for this event that we did. And... Her Saturn is the shittiest car I've ever driven. I mean, there's a reason Saturn no longer exists.
Mind you, he's saying this is the shittiest car he's ever driven. He's driven a car that's actually broken down.
Yeah, but you don't know how much money has been put into that Saturn to keep it running.
It still runs, though.
True.
So it can't be as shitty as your Mazda.
Saturns are really shitty cars.
Saturn's pretty
shitty. There's disposable cars.
The acceleration... The gas pedal sticks. So in order to just, like, get moving at all, you basically have to floor it and then immediately, like, back off and brake. So when you're trying to back out of a space or, like, make a fine adjustment, you have to, like, floor it and then hope that you don't go careening into the curb or something.
You know, it's like, here's Saturn. I'll just compare two things. Having a Saturn is like having a disposable camera. Like, the car you have now that you're getting to is like a nice digital camera.
Sure.
A nice digital camera that's reliable that you can put batteries in. Saturn is a disposable camera that you get for $9.
Has anyone else ever driven a Saturn?
Yeah, I have.
Like, owned a Saturn?
I have.
Would you agree with my assessment? Saturn was just a horrible company. They were basically a cult.
They're disposable cars.
I've driven.
You ever saw their commercials? Saturn was trying to operate like a cult. Like
I'll put it this way.
We talked about this.
Are you talking about Scion? No, Scion.
Scion's pretty weird too. I wouldn't. But I'll say this much. We talked about this in my media studies class.
I've always wondered about those PT Cruiser people. Like,
well, no one likes
the hell is up with the shape of that thing.
No. The only people who like the PT Cruiser are 65 and up.
Well, what happened with the PT Cruiser was the PT Cruiser came out and like everyone thought it was the coolest thing, and then. Somehow, this weird phenomenon, all of America decided at the same moment, wait a second, this is the dumbest car ever. And so everyone all together came to the conclusion that the PT Cruiser is lame.
The PT Cruiser looks like a pregnant Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
It looks like that, plus it also looks like the poor man's hot rod.
It looks like a big bloated tick. Like, you know when a tick has been... has been sucking on blood.
A midget gangster car.
I think it looks like a minivan with mumps.
Like small in the...
Sorry, Jordan wins. Yeah.
You win the prize, sir.
So if you go into a used car dealership...
I'm so glad I hadn't said anything in such a long time.
If you go into a used car dealership, you will see at least 3 PT Cruisers on their lot.
Nobody's buying them. Going back to Saturn, I have driven a Saturn. I'll say that it's not a great car, but I've driven worse.
Justin, are you getting the PT Cruiser? What? No, are you getting the Saturn Colt? Are you getting the whole Saturn Colt thing from that Mad TV sketch?
Okay, we talked about this in my...
Have you seen the media studies class
I took. No, please tell me about it.
Okay, basically, it's like Michael McDonald plays this Saturn dealer, and like he goes to the door of this family who's just bought a Saturn like the week prior, and so he's just like, he's pretty much trying to give them their firstborn or whatever. And like he's trying to get them to come with them, and like you're one of us now. You must come with us. And
wow,
I guess it was something like that.
Well, I mean, the reason for that parody is that's kind of how Saturn operated. So their commercials, they always touted this. You're part of the Saturn family, and lots of businesses do that. But Saturn took it to the next level. They actually had these gatherings, like a gathering of the Juggalos, but for Saturn owners, where people from all over the country would drive their Saturns out to, like, some, I don't know, cornfield in the middle of nowhere. Like, somewhere
Iowa?
In the middle.
So it was
like in Iowa or something, and people drive their Saturns and get together and just...
You know what that sounds like, Justin?
Be together as Saturn owners.
Burning Man, perhaps?
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like Sturgis for lame
Bears.
White people.
Right, it's the most boring... version of Burning Man or Sturgis you could think of.
It's the lame white dumb
asshole. Yeah, that's what it is. It's basically it's Sturgis for the WASP crowd.
SaturnCon?
Yeah. Oh god.
Why?
All right. So okay, Saturn is shitty. We officially settled on that. Now back to your predicament.
Right.
Yes.
So now I am without a car and I do not want to drive that Saturn for more than a day. So I rented a car, but every day last week, I was going out with my dad to look at used cars. And it's not as if this is coming as a surprise to anyone when I say that used car shopping is not fun. We know that, of course. I'm not...
Rushed car shopping is not fun.
Yeah, not breaking any new revelations for anyone. But the amount of bullshit that I feel like I personally experienced while trying to find a new car is worth sharing, I think. So...
Yeah.
If you live in Frederick, you know that Bucky's Town Pike, 355 area, it's all car dealerships.
Fast food places.
Yeah, it's car dealerships and fast food places and the mall. That's it.
Eat, sleep, shop, and
chip. You cannot throw a stone without hitting a used car dealership.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
And in the course of 5 days, I went to every single one of them.
You poor bastard.
We're talking Tate, Fitzgerald, Braddock.
Were you smiled at, Justin?
they give you that, like, hi! That smile, like, you know.
Yeah.
Hi there! Go ahead. How would you like to be fucked in the ass today?
I was going to say, you can imagine that, you know, the used car salesman smile. You can imagine, that's what a date rapist, that's the kind of smile they give, you know, their potential target.
Pretty much.
Here's the thing, though.
Oh, you're gonna get it.
The thing you expect when you go car shopping is that you're gonna get attacked as soon as you step on the lot, and you're gonna have a dealer up your ass within the 10 seconds.
Like, I just imagine someone walking onto the dealership lot, like a bunch of car salesmen, and they just start dry humping. No taking off the pants, just dry humping.
Down!
Give me your money!
Gotta hit him with a rolled up newspaper.
Like a confused squid. Just
anybody ever see The Goods with Jeremy Piven?
I kind of wanted to, even though I heard it was not very good.
There was this one scene in the trailer that always made me crack up. It was like a crowd of people walking on the lot to buy cars, and then the other half were the dealer, the salesman, walking towards them, and Jeremy Piven and this one lady are just walking up to each other, screaming at each other, "Ah! Hi, welcome to TDM Auto Sales. Let me show you a car." What?
So that's kind of what I was expecting, but it's completely the opposite. I went to 3 different dealerships where I was basically ignored.
Two were like major dealerships.
How is that possible? Usually,
we walked in. They were very busy. I mean, all the salesmen were busy. But you expect, at the very least, like a, hi, how are you? We'll be with you in a second. No, nothing. Walked right past us. Just looked at us and kept walking.
Wait, I have a question. I have a question for you. I think there's a reason for this, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Was your dad wearing his normal ensemble?
I didn't even need to wait for you to finish.
That's why. Asking that question. I can tell you exactly. That's
this
why.
This has been a Mark Eisenstadt moment.
No, that's the same thing my mom said, but...
Sorry.
Well, okay, first of all, I just want to say...
Does he wear that to work?
No. Do you think he would still have a job if he did?
I don't know if he does.
No, but I mean, he's not working. Obviously, he wants to be comfortable.
Right.
But...
The man is entitled to wear what he wants to wear on his free time. I will say this, in respect to my dad, I would not have been able to get through this situation without my dad... Because, at the very least, my dad, you can say many things about my dad. One thing you cannot say is that he's a fool. My dad is a,
no, he's not.
My
no.
dad is a shrewd guy.
I'm glad he was with you.
Yeah,
so
my dad is
probably
the shrewdest man I've ever
if
met.
If there's one thing he knows how to do, it's ask questions. Perhaps to a fault sometimes, but my dad leaves no stone unturned when it comes to business dealings. Because his dad was the exact opposite. My dad, my grandfather, who I never even met, except like as a baby, like 3 months old, was a tow truck driver, never made more than, like, I don't know, not very much. Like, they did not grow up... I drive past my dad's old
neighborhood. So it's like a tradition.
Every day, like, on my way to work.
Yeah, so basically, your dad is the opposite because he wanted to afford you all the opportunities that he didn't get.
Right. His dad trusted everyone to a fault. Still believed in that whole, if you shake on it, it's a deal. Like, a handshake is a solemn bond that cannot be broken. Like, that's how he operated. And so he would lend money to people. He would just make bad business decisions. And it, you know, didn't
work
out.
I think we all, anybody has a relative like that.
Sure.
That's a sure sign of the times that they were living in.
Right.
But, yeah, so I know that my dad, growing up, in a very pretty low income family in that suburb and watching his dad operate like this, said to himself, when I grow up and I have a family of my own, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to make sure that we have plenty of money and we're able to provide things. And so he does not trust anyone. But just as people can often end up too much like their parents, they also can sometimes try and distance themselves so much that they end up going, like, opposite direction, too far. So I also have that same thing where, like, my dad is obsessed with numbers and obsessed with money and obsessed with business, and I am just the opposite. Like, I'm a terrible Jewish stereotype because I am terrible at money. I'm terrible with money. I don't go frivolously spending it, but I also am not as good at budgeting and just practical, like, is this a worthy deal? Should I be spending my money on this?
Justin, I don't consider that to be a terrible Jewish stereotype. If you actually ate Christian babies, now that would be terrible.
If I had horns and used the blood of Christian babies to make my Passover matzah meal, yes.
If you had the
that would be a terrible
the fiddler on the roof ringtone with the violin.
Well, when I said that was a terrible Jewish stereotype, I meant that I'm terrible at living up.
I just sat on the roof.
I got you.
Sorry, it's crazy, you know.
So you and your dad are being ignored at the car dealership.
We're being ignored at three different dealerships. And then, like, the Honda dealership, there's a guy who does come out and see us, but he is the least interested salesman I've ever seen. I mean, he must have just taken, like, a bunch of Valium or something, because he comes out and he's like, hey, what can I help you?
What's happening?
We're like, yes, we would like to look at used cars.
There's a car there.
He's like, yeah, they're here on the lot.
Well, I mean,
well, they're not marked with prices, so if you could maybe walk around with us and tell me how much is this one, how much, you know, your job, basically. Would you do your job?
The thing is, I would say that that's horrible customer service, but to be honest, to be a used car salesman in this fucking recession... You're just like, after a while,
no,
you're just like...
that's the thing, though, Colin. In this economy, used cars are the things that are going... Like, the car, $10,000 cars and under are going like that. Like,
I can
you
believe that.
And if, and judging by all the people I saw out buying cars this week, the economy has not stopped people from buying cars. Like,
well, but you
went
also
to three dealerships where it was packed.
Yeah, but you get the sort of half and half sort of thing going. You get the people who come in who seriously look and then, you know, don't buy anything offhand, but then come back and like, okay, I'm interested in this kind of car. But then you also get the other people who come who want a test drive and then never come back.
Yeah.
And so they spend all this time trying to break you down to buy shit, and then it's like they're wasting time.
Well, also, right. It could have been that, you know, that was his last week, and he was probably in his head just like, you know what, I don't know.
Fuck it.
And I've completely just checked out.
I'm getting too old for this. Was he old, yes, or was he a young guy?
He wasn't really that. He couldn't have been more than 40.
Ah.
He was maybe mid-40s.
Maybe his script got optioned.
I don't know. He was
Excuse
just...
me, sir, what make and model of this is this car?
It's a four-door.
It's a Honda. This is a Honda dealership. It's a Honda.
It's got seats.
He's like, he's got his paper, and he's like,
see that pedal there?
And finally, he's just like, yeah, I don't have anything in that price range. Like, you're not going to try and make a deal, play with your numbers, something. And we're just like, all right, well, I guess we're going to go. And like, yeah.
I can't play with my numbers while you're watching me.
Because, like, that's totally past. Speaking about stereotypes, we're going to talk about stereotypes, too. It's totally past the used car man sales like stereotype. Like he's supposed to be like,
right,
hey,
super
come here, let me wipe your ass with this Clorox wipe, and then sit down, please. And he doesn't sell anything. Just like,
how would you like a beverage?
Hey, there's a car there.
Yeah.
It's got wheels.
It's pretty funny.
It's got windows.
I've never heard a car salesman mumble in my life until now.
Wow.
Because usually their diction's. Quite.
Has
quite
to be.
Good. Okay.
Hey, man.
Now, one of the ones where we did get ignored after we walked out, then someone comes running out. He's like, wait, I was going to get to you. We're like, sorry, we're done. My dad's not a patient person. If you guys know him, you know that he's
really?
Not patient at all. And I get a little bit of that from him, I'll be honest. But the guy comes out and he's like, oh, you know, I was just finishing up with a customer. You know, I can help you now. It's like, you couldn't even say hi. You couldn't acknowledge our existence.
How you doing?
Something.
How's the kids?
Something. At least, even a nod. But
not even a Bob's your uncle. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
So the next dealership you went to.
Okay. So I met good salesmen. I met bad salesmen. I met great salesmen, and I met shitty ass salesmen.
What's the shittiest salesman, with the exception of the guy that was on Valium?
Mumbles.
We'll call him
Mumbles.
Mumbles the clown.
Mumbles the car clown.
Yeah. Okay.
There's 13 of him just waiting in another car.
Well, they are Hondas, so yeah, they're just about clown cars.
All right. Well, okay. Mumbles just doesn't care. He's just an apathetic salesman. But I want to tell you about a truly incompetent salesman, and then a salesman who I thought was great, who turned out to be an asshole. So first, the incompetent one. So went to the Kia dealership, and I found a car that I really, really wanted. It's a 2009 Kia Spectra, like 55,000 miles on it. The price he gave me was just under $10,000, not like $9,995, and repeated that several times. He's like, and we're like, are you sure that's the price, right? He's like, yeah, that's the price I can give you.
Let me guess, and that was the base price without any options.
No, we're talking about a used car. There's no options. The car is what it is. So he gives us that price. So I'm deciding between this car and two other cars, but comes down to it, I'm like, I'm gonna go with the Kia. Now I've been playing around with Frederick Nissan too, but I'll get to that one after this. So, we're actually signing the paperwork for this Kia. Like, filled out the insurance stuff, filled out... We're, like, 75% of the way through this sale. And he's like, wait... And he's an old dude, like, real old. And he's like, wait, let me just go check on something real quick. And goes back, and then comes back, and he's like, yeah, I can't actually sell it to you for that price. Like, what do you mean? That's the price you told us several times. Like, yeah, my manager says that's not the price. I was looking at the wrong thing on my paper. You were looking at the wrong thing on the paper. You took the price on the paper, crossed it out, and wrote another price.
Jeez.
You didn't look at the wrong thing. You just went ahead and cocked it up for everyone. So we're like...
Please tell me this is not in Frederick.
This is all in Frederick.
God.
All of these dealerships are in Frederick. Had I had more time or more patience or more energy, I would have probably gone to Gaithersburg and probably...
I remember your dad. Like your dad's like, you can go down to Gaithersburg and have for those
guys.
Go to
Germantown, you're going to play around with those bastards.
Yeah, play around with those bastards.
That's awesome.
And so we're just like, all right, we're done here. We'll get up and walk out. Expecting them to be like, wait, come back. Let's make a deal. They don't even try to make a deal. They just watch us leave. I'm astonished that the manager didn't come out and talk to us. I don't know, at least apologize for how shitty his salesman is. But no,
watched you walk out the door like they're watching a Hulk rerun.
Right, they just stand there, dicks in hand, and watch us walk out the door. So they lost a sale. So to me, I'm confused because that seems so stupid. You either lose like $2,000 by making the sale, or you lose $10,000 by not selling the car at all.
It doesn't make sense to me that you wouldn't double check on figures for a car, and like that's a big legitimate number. That's not every day. Like I'm just getting a small amount. No, this is like what
if you were
surprised if you guys didn't actually go to this manager and been like, look, here's the deal. There was a price marked on this paper. He crossed it out and put in the price that he kept quoting it. Over and
which
over.
Which was probably more, right?
Legally, they have to give you the price if that's the advertised price. If it's advertised at that price, then they have to give it to you. But if the salesman says, I think we can go a little lower, and then doesn't actually get clearance from his manager, they are not required to give you that price because their salesman fucked up.
I mean, okay.
Well, no, I can understand.
That's understandable. That.
But yeah, you'd think maybe at least go half, like split the difference or something.
Well, like, that and the fact that, I mean, that's just a shitty thing to do. Like, say, okay, I can give you it for this much, and then get all the way through that paperwork, and then just, like, at the last possible second, be like, oh, yeah, I just talked to my manager, and he said I can't do that.
I mean,
hell did you even start the paperwork?
You would at least think that before he started the paperwork, he would have talked to his manager and been like, hey, is this price right? But right. No.
Yeah. No, and he told us several times, because we went in there Monday. This was on Friday.
Jesus.
When we were actually sitting down to do the paperwork. So, 5 days that he had where he could have double-checked this.
Oh, yeah, I totally would have gone to the manager and been like, what the fuck, man?
I
wouldn't be surprised if that guy lost his job over that.
I hope he did.
At least got severely written off, but...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in this economy, you can't seriously tell me that you're that okay with losing a sale. Like that.
And so, changing the price at the last minute's no.
Some people have told me that they've heard of this being done intentionally, like a bait and switch. Like, they bring you in at one price and at the last minute try to do it. But I can't imagine how that ever works. Who's going to do that? Like, only if.
Unless they would put it on, like, a certain form and they would say, like, oh, this is this, and they'll give it a, like, this long title that basic. But if you read in the fine print, it's like, oh, yeah, we're changing the price on you.
I mean, maybe they think that, like, once you get a customer that far, they're just going to be like, well, we've come this far, can't turn back now.
This is an addendum to the price. This is a fixed price range addendum.
Yeah.
And then you sign it, and then all of a sudden your price goes up.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute, but, like, you signed it. It's legal and binding. Like, if you put ink on paper, you can get screwed.
Yeah.
So, it's shitty salesmanship. Let's move on to the next
one. All right, so the next one. Okay, so the next one is an example of salesmen that started out great and then went from being great salesmen to being creepy, slightly stalker salesmen to then just being outright unethical salesmen, I think.
Okay.
So at the Nissan dealership, we went in there and basically we got double teamed by... the salesperson and the owner.
Kinky.
Yeah.
69. Like you said before, run up to you, start humping you like a confused squid.
Well,
I'm gonna ink, I'm gonna... Oh.
The salesperson. Well, okay, the salesperson actually was not bad looking. Like she was.
Oh, she.
I know. My, yeah, we were surprised. Well, my dad was very surprised to find a female salesperson.
What have we here?
But you know,
by the way, they're using attractive women to sell merchandise. Get out of town.
Well, it's also interesting because
it's
I
original.
Went, she took me on the test drive of this car I was looking at. It was a used 07 Nissan Versa.
Did her hand brush your knee?
No. But I'm saying what Ryan I was going to say was interesting fella. Was that she used to live in Pikesville and like it has knows the organization that I work
hey,
at.
Hey, fella, this is an organic stick shift.
No, I mean, she's probably like 35, so.
MILF?
So all what?
Right. All right, good.
Go ahead.
But I mean, very good salesman. Like immediately, as soon as we came in there, came up to help us. Very personal. Got the owner involved. The owner is also very helpful, and actually was like, you know, we couldn't find a car that we liked, and then he was like, "Well, we have a car. It's over being at the shop, so it's technically not actually on the sales floor yet. But I could probably take you over there to look at this car. 10-8, 44,000 miles on it. Like that's a good deal." Like that's worth looking at, right? So, I come back, we look at this car, it's really nice, I take it for the test drive. Only thing that's a little disappointing is that it has the basic features, like manual windows, manual locks, like the most basic sound system. Granted, those are superficial features, but even my shitty Mazda had power windows and power locks.
I mean, mine, if it's broken, my 91 Toyota has power
right
windows.
That don't work, by the way.
And I'm not such, like, I'm not the kind of person who's like, I have to crank a window with my hand? Oh, heavens.
Well, if you're smooth enough and you have the biceps for it, that's why
I might break a nail.
Yeah, that's why you try to make it smooth to put it down like an automatic and then you make the sound.
Right.
What, a fart noise?
It's basically, that's how windows sound. That's how my windows sound when they're
right.
going down.
And my dad's like, who cares? Just take the car. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. But on the other hand, I'm going to be driving this car 2 hours a day, every day. Like, being able to, you know, plug my MP3 player in, being able to have power windows and air conditioning that actually works, like, those are factors that kind of matter.
Okay, did it have a tape deck?
No.
it just had a radio?
AM, FM. AM and FM.
That's not bad.
Well, the weird thing is, I don't know if this makes me sound like a hipster, but I would rather have a tape deck than a CD player because I can use a cassette
adapter
for the MP3
player.
Yeah.
And it has a warmer sound.
Yeah. Right, that too, because I hate having to listen to one CD and having to listen to that same CD over and over again. That's why like, I have my MP3 player, like, you know, 30,000 songs as opposed to like
12
songs on a CD. So the tape player had been broken in the Mazda for the last 3 months, so that sucked too. It was just stuck, like, it didn't work. So I'm like, okay, it's a nice car. It's a little disappointing that the feature set is so lacking, and the Spectra is 2 years newer. It's only got, you know, 6,000 more miles on it, and it's got better features, so. And also, my mechanic personally recommended the Kia. Anyways, but over the course of this past week, I got a call from one of those two, either the salesperson or the owner, at least twice every single day, kept calling and calling and calling. And always friendly, but just getting relentless to the point where I'm like, why are they wasting this much time on me? Like, I'm 23. They know I can't, like, why? They've got much better, you know,
they got bigger
targets.
Fish to fry.
They got bigger fish to fry. They're not like a little rinky-dink mom-and-pop shop. This is an official Nissan dealership. Like, why are they wasting this much time on me?
Right.
But at the end of it all, the owner at least, turned out to be a complete liar. So this brings us to the third and final dealership, which is a little tiny, like independently owned little used car dealership called SMH Auto, which, to just bring everything to a close, that is where I ended up actually buying my car from. Okay. And the guy there, my dad affectionately named him Chris Farley, even though I didn't think he looked anything like Chris Farley. Certainly lacking that manic energy of Chris Farley.
Hiya, folks. Pope for Donnelly.
I mean, he was kind of, you know, he like had the chubby face and...
Okay, gotcha.
You know, he kind of had that round features, the blonde hair.
Fat dude.
The cherub. Yeah, he was a fat cherubic man.
He wasn't that fat. I mean,
so he looked like Sean.
Oh my freaking gourd! Buy a car!
Would you like to live in a van down by the river?
I think if
Sean... how can we get back on the right track?
I think Sean, if it was a used car salesman, it would be pretty entertaining.
Hi, guys.
I think I would buy it.
Would you like to buy a car today?
But he actually turned out to be a great salesman, like, really nice guy, was friendly enough without being, like, creepy, just was just a friendly guy. I think kind of putting on an act, because he was doing this whole, like, I'm going to give you this price, but you can't let the manager hear. I shouldn't be giving it to you for this price.
Yes.
Like, it's an act, right?
He's putting it on for sure.
Yeah.
You were expecting him to be like, is
no,
this your
truck? Like, he's only like leaning forward over the desk, like, don't tell anyone I'm giving it to you for this price. Like, you say that to every single person who walks in here.
I wrote the base price, the special deal on my skin.
Zip.
It's like, by the way, the soup today is the clam chowder. Just saying.
Like, I can lose my job.
I can get you.
Some clam chowder.
It's like you,
with this
the sale's gonna have to go.
There's some spinach in your teeth.
Anyway, so what was the special price?
Okay,
they
So the car that I pretty quickly kind of fell in love with, which was the first day because I went to SMH on that Monday. Like one of the first cars I saw was a 2011 Chevy Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of tucked it away to the side because he was like, I'll give you this Malibu, 2011, 49,000 miles, $11,900. I'm like, pretty good deal on Malibu because retail price for Malibu is probably like $15,000,
$16,000. Yeah, on the Kelly Blue Book.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's a great deal. Still a little higher than I actually want to spend, but that's a really good deal. So right off the bat, it was the 2009 Kia Spectra versus the 2011 Chevy Malibu. So I kind of tucked that away to the side. Now, when the Kia deal fell apart, went back to there, and I'm like, I think I'm going to go for this Malibu. Now, we look up the Carfax, and it turns out it used to be a rental car, which Chris Farley had not mentioned. And my dad got a little concerned about that. He's like, he didn't tell us that this used to be a rental car. And like, a lot of people have concerns about buying former rental cars. There's kind of, because I read a whole ton of blog posts and articles about this whole thing.
Because, it's obviously because they're getting run all the time, then they're left in the lot to just run.
Right. Because there's a lot of debate over how risky is it to buy a rental car. And the common conception is that it's very risky, but for the most part, it's not as risky as the average American car buyer thinks. Because yes, you don't know how many people have driven this car. Yes, it's going to have a very high mileage relative to the actual year of the car. But at the same time, the dealership has to keep it to a certain level of maintenance to keep renting it out to people.
There's a certain level, there's certain standards put in place, I would assume at least, for rental cars if they're going to sell them to a lot like that.
Right.
There has to be.
And the thing is, it's a very, it's a common thing though. Like, tons of used cars are actually rental cars now. Like, a lot more than you would think.
I mean, like, I remember going out, because when I was in St. Louis, me and Brandon from, like, the old podcast, because we were at Fear the Con, we got a rental car, and we're just driving around St. Louis, because we're like, screw it, we don't want to take a bus. And just looking at how they were taking care of the cars, I was like, I would buy one of these.
Yeah.
Because it was very nice, they smelled nice, they maintained them.
Right.
I mean, everything was on site.
Yeah,
because
they got to clean it out every time. They got to keep it serviced. And now tons of rental car places, you can just buy it directly from the rental company.
Yeah.
I mean, a cute story. I actually, I had to have a rental car about 3 weeks ago because my car was in the shop. And I go to Enterprise at about 4 p.m. There was a line to rent a car that wrapped around the building like twice.
I was in line
for almost 2 hours.
Apparently they were also launching Halo 4? I don't
know. Which one did you get? Did you go one on Buckystown or one on Waverly?
It was one on Buckystown.
Okay, yeah, that one's...
Like, I'm honestly not... I'm probably sound like I'm exaggerating. I'm really not. I haven't seen a line like that since I went to King's Dominion 2 summers ago.
That's crazy.
Was this on a weekend?
It was Thursday.
Oh, wow. Oh, Thursday? Last time I saw a line like that was for Avengers.
Yeah. That's weird.
I didn't even see a line nearly that long for Avengers.
Of course, when I went to see it, we took a matinee.
So,
well, when we got out of the matinee, not to you know, sideswipe, but yeah. When we got out of the matinee,
yeah,
there was a
lines
long.
Were really bad.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit!
I saw it Sunday night. There really wasn't a big line.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's like gas prices or the recession or what, but rental cars are just in vogue now. It seems.
I don't know because it's not cheap. Like it's like, no, Zipcar is a much cheaper deal if you just need it for like a short period of time, but. I mean, we always go to the one in Mount Airy. Don't usually have a problem with that. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny establishment, but I just set up a reservation online, and that usually works out. But anyways, back to the point of this story is that the Chevy Malibu, you know, used to be a rental car. Like, well, you know, everything else on the Carfax is clean, no issues, no damage, no accidents, but let's bring it to our mechanic to be sure. Well, this is... This is Saturday morning now, and I get yet another call from the guy at Frederick Nissan. And first he calls me, I actually talk to him, like, yeah, so, you know, you've been very helpful, and, you know, you've given me great service, but I'm going to go with this other car that I've been looking at, so I thank you for helping me out, but, you know, we're not going to be able to do business together. That's it. Hang up the phone. Less than 5 minutes later, he calls me again. This time I don't pick it up, because I'm like, what? I just talked to this guy. Like, what else does he have to say? So he leaves a message. I listen to it, and he's like, "Yeah, just so you know, I mean, just wanted to let you know that Malibu that you're looking at used to be a rental car. So you know, you should keep that in mind because a lot of times, like those rental cars have seen a lot of use and a lot of damage, and you know, just something you should keep in mind. Like, first of all, I didn't tell him what the car was. So it's like he went and looked it up himself, found the VIN number, and looked it up."
That's pretty fucking creepy.
I mean, I did say it was a 2000 Malibu, but I didn't even say what dealership. Like, I didn't say what dealership. So somehow he in less than 5 minutes he did a search of like every like 2011 Malibu for sale in the Frederick area and found the one that I was talking about.
Either that, or he's just trying to deface the other dealership.
But I didn't tell him what dealership it was.
But you told him you went to another dealership.
But he didn't even know which one it was.
Doesn't matter.
So how did, okay. So he tells, yeah, so I listen to that message. I'm like, okay. Well, I go and so at the same time, he also was like, by the way, I have a 2010 Versa that I could sell you. I could bring that down to about 11.9. So now we're talking about the same price. Well, I take that VIN number. I look it up. That car was also a rental car.
The one he was going to give you before?
Here he is warning me that the Malibu I'm looking at is a rental car while completely neglecting to mention the fact that the car he wants to sell me is also a rental car.
What a douche.
I'm like, what? That is some bullshit. Like, that is some shisty shit.
Part of me, when I first heard that, like, when I first heard that yesterday morning when you found out, because we were going to get band practice and I had to deal with shit. I was like, I'm not surprised. I really am not surprised to the low, like, you know, just what they would do to that.
Like did he think that I was that stupid that I wasn't going to look up his vehicle on Carfax? Like,
yeah.
Or was he stupid enough to not realize that the
did
car...
Did you mention to him that you, did you looked up any Carfax or anything? Or you just...
No, I didn't. Yeah, after that, I'm like, after I got that message, I'm like, I'm officially done with these guys.
And that's why no one respects you.
Because either he lied to me, or he's dumb enough to not know that he just made a goof like that. Either way, I don't want to deal with this guy.
Then
I got another call from the salesperson, the female salesperson, and I got a call from some sort of like corporate survey thing that they wanted to survey me about my car buying experience at Frederick Nissan. So I have 4 calls in 1 day, and I wasn't even buying a car from them.
Did you tell her? It's like, yeah, by the way, I looked it up. You guys actually lied to me.
I would have liked to do that, but at that point, I didn't want to talk to them anymore. I was just done with it. I was so tired of this whole ordeal.
I don't blame you for not talking to them.
I would say if you get another call from them in the near future, you should totally...
I actually did. I got one yesterday, but I'm like... I was driving. I'm like,
burn
I'm
them.
Done. Like, why are you still calling me?
If they do it again, just burn them.
Okay. We're almost at the end of the story here. But there's still a couple more interesting pieces to be had. So I go back. We go back to SMH. We're like, all right, we want to buy this car. I want this Malibu. Let's sit down. Let's take the paperwork. So obviously, it's a lot more money than I can actually afford. I'm going to finance the car. I know that. I'm going to put down a down payment, but I'm going to be financing it. I have, you know, decent credit, but they tell me, like, oh, you know, only thing we're a little concerned about is that your income is so low. Because I, you know, I work for this AmeriCorps job, get paid shit, like, I'm on a stipend. Like, it's yeah, pretty low income. They're like, you know, rare that we get someone coming in with an income that low trying to buy the car, but I'm, you know, positive that you'll be able to get it. And also, my mom works for a bank, so I'm applying for a loan from them, which would be able to give me a much better interest rate. And so we go there Friday night, and we're going to go through the deal, but the internet is down in the entire area. Like, like Office Depot, like that whole Panera, like that whole area. Well, the internet's down. And Verizon, you know, Verizon.
That's not the first time things have, like, just broke down there.
That explains so much.
Once for a whole week, that Panera down there closed. Closed. Like, completely closed because they're shut down by the health department. No, they didn't have hot water.
Huh.
Which is apparently something, a big deal with the health department.
Do you think that shopping center was built on an Indian burial ground or something?
Probably.
Probably.
Anyway, so, so you got your car from the guys and...
Speaking of Indian burial grounds, I saw a trailer, I think it was before the Avengers actually, so you guys probably saw the same trailer, a new Tim Burton movie that's like...
Frankenweenie?
I'm like, isn't this just Pet Sematary? Like,
no, apparently that was a student film that Tim Burton did when he was in college.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I was like, this is...
And he's just extending it out and probably putting Johnny Depp in it.
It's pretty much what they did with Nine.
It's kind of adorable, Tim Burton and Johnny Depp's relationship.
Yeah, I thought Nine looked awesome.
I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark and say no one here saw Dark Shadows this weekend.
No.
Nope.
Huh? What's that?
Tim Burton and Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that where he's a vampire?
Yeah. Yes.
It's
That actually got released?
It's an adaptation of that 1960s soap opera about the vampires.
Wait, it's already out? I thought it...
Yeah, it came out Friday.
Well, shit. Well, huh.
Yeah, good luck.
Didn't we see a promo for that? Why would you bother releasing another movie?
I was going to say, didn't we see a promo for that when we went to go see Avengers, right?
Yeah. We saw a preview for the movie that just came out, yeah.
What the hell?
And then on top, what was really funny is because they put the trailers, like, almost in tandem with each other. You had, like, the vampire movie and then Frankenweenie.
By the way,
so it was, like, two Tim Burton things in a row. And I'm like,
All right, well.
I'm sorry, Justin. I like movies.
We all do. That's why we're here.
Obviously, compared to last episode.
All right, well, we're starting to run along, so let me just get on with things.
Yeah. We're almost at an hour.
Okay. The other annoyance I had to deal with was getting rid of the old Mazda. So, like, decided I was going to scrap it at Crazy Ray's junkyard in Mount Airy.
Crazy Ray's.
It's called Crazy Ray's. And they were going to send a tow truck to come get the car from the mechanic who was not 5 minutes away. I called him at, 9 in the morning. Can you get have a tow truck driver there at 1? Yes, we will definitely have a tow truck driver there at 1. I get there at 1, no tow truck driver, 1:15, no tow truck driver, 1:20, I call them, I'm like, where's the tow truck driver? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I talked to your dispatcher, like, a couple hours ago, said there's going to be a tow truck driver here. Yeah, we don't have you on the list. Okay, well, could you put me on the list, tow truck driver? Like, yeah, he's got two... cars ahead, he's got two vehicles ahead of you, but he'll be there within 30 minutes or so. 30 minutes, no tow truck driver. I'm like, can you just give me his number personally? And I call him, he's like, oh yeah, my tire blew out. So I'm...
The tow truck driver needed a tow truck driver?
Yeah, the tow truck driver's tow truck. The tire blew out. So...
That's ironic.
I had to pay another tow truck driver.
It's like $10,000.
$75 to take my car 5 minutes down the road. Not even 5 minutes.
God, see, this is why
Crazy Ray's gave me $400 cash.
This is why I have Verizon free roadside assistance for just $3 a month.
This is why I'm upgrading to AAA Plus.
Yeah, I would.
Like,
it's worth it.
100 miles of free time.
Yeah, so that helps.
Okay, so anyway, Saturday we get the car inspected, and then we're sitting at SMH for 4 hours because I did not get approved for credit. And then, even though I have, like good credit, but then you have these degenerates who come in with, like, you know, 400s, and, you know, like, the guy's a dock worker down at, you know, Walmart or something, and he leaves with a $30,000 car.
But he's over the age of 25.
Right.
It's because you're younger.
It's because of my income.
Yeah,
it's because you're younger.
I don't know. This guy, Chris Farley, telling me about all the people that he sells cars to, because these are one of these dealerships that deals with people with bad credit. Yeah. And they still get cars, and I'm like, nope, sorry.
Yeah, but credit, it's not a revolution.
But 4 hours later, and a million phone calls, and my dad becoming increasingly more unhinged.
And belligerent.
And belligerent. Finally, co-signs for the car with me. And I'm able to drive it home. So now I'm an assload of debt. So my plans to move out of the house are pretty much scrapped for the time being. But at least I have a new car. And that is my story.
Yeah, we didn't have nearly as bad a weekend as you did, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to wrap this up now?
No, we got some time.
Do you want to make this a special extended episode of Bully Going?
Well, how extended are we talking? What are we at?
Like not yeah, that just extended.
Look at the time.
We're at 55 minutes.
Yeah, I say we wrap it up.
You say we wrap it up?
Because we did also start late.
Okay.
Well.
All right, well, until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.